All right, let's go right to our scriptures this morning. We're talking about being imitators of God, and can you go to the next slide for me? The yellow is what you say out loud, really loud, right? Because it's God's word. You don't want to be quiet about God's word, and then I'll read the white. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You know, as I thought about this verse, I got to thinking about when I was young and how I really like to imitate my dad. Now, you may not have a dad, and maybe mom or uncle or somebody in your family that you imitated, but my dad was from South Carolina. He was kind of a real go-getter, but he was kind of a slow walker, and he had duck feet. You know, his feet were always out like this. I don't know why, but that's the way he walked. So as he walked along, I'd get up behind him and walk along with him, you know, and try to mimic how he was walking and that kind of thing. And then he'd turn around and I'd, you know, act like I wasn't doing anything. And then I'd mimic him some more. And I can remember a lot of things that I would mimic. He had Southern sayings, like one that I still use today is when I see a baby, I'll go, boy, she's as cute as a bug's ear. How is a bug's ear cute? You know, but I mean, it's so tiny. Yeah, and a lot of different sayings that he has that I say, and I realize I mimicked him, and I picked those up, and people go, they'll start laughing. I'll say, what? And they'll say, well, what you said was funny, and then I realize it's a Southern saying, you know. And I ended up, you know, for a little while, my dad would talk, and I would say his words right behind him. You know, isn't that irritating? You know, but as a kid, I didn't know. And so everything he said, I'd say. And so pretty soon he'd say, shut up and knock it off. You know, because he thought I was just trying to be irritable. But I like mimicking. And so, in fact, it came to a place I remember that we started going to church and he wasn't convinced yet. He had accepted Christ, but he wasn't convinced. So he'd stay home and watch TV and drink a schooner of beer while we were at church. And we'd come home and I'd see a little residual in the bottom of the beer and I'd drink it because I want to be like him. And he told me later, he said, you know, when you would, it only took once or twice of you drinking that beer out of that, the little bit was left out of the scooter for me to realize I don't want to drink beer anymore. I don't want you to imitate me in that area. You know, and I look at our scripture this morning, and as a child, I love to imitate Dad, but the Bible says, go ahead and imitate God. You know, it was fine to imitate my dad. My dad was human, but God wants me and wants you to imitate him. And it's real easy to get into the church and go, you know, I really like, man, that guy's really spiritual. I want to be like him. No, you don't. You want to be like God. That's what the scripture says. And so let's just break our verse down today. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now, in the shaded words, I put those in there to help amplify so you understand exactly what the word means. And so let's just begin in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God. Be mimics. Do what God does as dear children. And when we say dear children, we've lost the aspect of dear in our society. In fact, we write a letter, and what's the first two words we put? Dear Tom, or dear Dick, or dear John. Okay? But we put dear. And if we really understood what dear meant, I don't think we'd put that on the letter, because it means a loved one, an affectionately loved person. And so when I put dear Tom on a business thing, I'm really saying that I really love Tom. Well, I don't know if I do. I don't even know Tom. I just met him over the internet or what for business. And so what Paul's saying here is, therefore be imitators of God as loved, affectionately loved children by God. You might remember this from 1 John 1:9 because it's important, or 1 John 4:19 because this is an important verse. We love him because he what? First loved us. Yeah, a lot of you remember that verse. And that's why we're called loved. That's why we're called beloved or dear. So let me just kind of rephrase verse 1. Therefore, copy and do as God does as affectionate, loved children. And walk in love. Walk around. And it's not, you know, let's just walk in, you know, as much as we can in the Bible. That's not what God's saying. He's saying, and the word walk in the Bible, I love it. It means walk. It doesn't mean walk. It means walk around. Walk, you know, and so while you're walking around in life and you're doing different things, what is he telling us to do? Walk in love. Walking in love in real life, dealing with real life. Just as Christ, and I kind of put a mark through this, just as Christ also loved us. It isn't that he has loved us. That almost sounds like he quit doing it, doesn't it? And so, as also Christ loved us while he was walking around on earth and on from there, and given, and it really is, he gave himself, he handed himself over, is what that word means, on our behalf, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling, a good-smelling aroma. Now, he sacrificed himself. We know that. We're Christians. We have Easter. We get all that. And he forgave our sins and so on. But, you know, here's the interesting thing. It is a nice smell to God when that happens, when we sacrifice. David Ritchie was here last service. He's a farmer, and I get my meat from him, and I put it in the freezer. Both of us love rib steaks. I mean, you can get a lot of steaks out there, and they're good, but I love rib steaks. Anybody with me on that? You know, and why do you love rib steaks? Because they're a little marbled in there, and so you can say, well, you know, I can't take the little marble out, so I guess I'm going to have to add the extra calories, right? And so you put that on the barbecue, and I shouldn't be doing this in the second service, okay, because I'll get you to thinking about eating. But isn't that a lovely smell? Man, I mean, sometimes I'll be riding home, my bike home from here, and in the evening time, and I'll go past a little community, and all of a sudden I get this whiff of a barbecuing steak. Man, does that smell good? You know what I'm talking about, or are you just kind of dead today? Okay. And so in the law, God asks for sacrifice for sin. And so people bring their sacrifices, and when the Levites do it, God has them cut off a lot of the fat. And you know what he does with it? He throws it into the fire, and God goes, that smells good. It smells good to God like it does us. Oh, yeah, let's smell that barbecue. Because it's an offering for forgiveness of sins, but it's a good-smelling aroma. And that's what God is saying here is a walk in love, because Christ gave himself as a sacrifice for you and I so that we could walk in love. And boy, is that a good smell to God. But it's not just Christ's sacrifice. It's our sacrifice too, isn't it? When we sacrifice. Man, I'm loving what John is doing here. Ooh, Tom. Tom's really sacrificing. Bob, he's on the soundboard back there, man. He smells good. Right? It kind of reminds me of Romans 12:1, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And in other places, Paul says, and it's a good smelling aroma. And it's an act of love for you and I to offer ourselves as a sacrifice. In fact, if you think about it, to choose not to sin is a love offering to God. Do you realize that? Because what does God say? He wants us to walk in love, and we fall into sin at times, and we do it, and we kind of feel crummy about it, and yet when we are right on that rim, and we're tempted, and we're about to jump over, we go, wait a minute, I'm not going to do this. I know what the consequences are, and you know what? That smells good. He chose righteousness. And I imagine you found yourselves feeling a little out of it or incapable when you read a passage like this, because it's much easier for us. Like if we get to verse 3, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as fitting for saints. Well, that's tangible. That's do's and don'ts. And here's, he's given us some don'ts that we shouldn't do. And that's measurable and that's easy. But imitate God That's a little unmeasurable. Because John said this in 1 John 4, 8 and 16. God is love. Not God does love, but he's the essence. God is love. Twice he says that in chapter 4. So I want to use 1 John 4 as kind of our passage for today to look about love, John 4, 7 through 11. So if you have your Bibles, look at 1 John 4, 7 through 11. It's towards the end of your Bible, okay? If you've gone to Jude, you've gone too far, okay, or Revelation, okay, and back up a little bit, okay? 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, loved ones, the same word, let us love one another. For love is from God. It says of God, but I think what it really means is from God. And everyone who loves is born out of God and knows or acknowledges or recognizes God. He who does not love does not know or recognize God because God is love. Isn't that interesting? When we don't love, we are not understanding who God is. In this, the love of God was manifest or made clear towards us or in us. And then we have two purpose statements. For the purpose that God has sent for a purpose, his only begotten, his only born son into the world that we might live through him. Now, it is very almost identical to what Paul says in Romans 3:26, and I'm going to have to translate it from the original language because they kind of glossed over it and didn't make sense. I'll read it the right way the first time and then give you the other. To demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be the just one and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Well, that's true. If we have faith in Jesus, he's the justifier. But this is what it really says. To demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be the just one and the justifier of the one who is out of the faith of Jesus. In other words, we live our life out of his faith, not our faith. Our faith is to believe in him. His faith is what made it all right. So we live out of his faith and love because of what he did, and that he might live through us, and we love. So let's go to verse 10. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he himself loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation. That means a means of forgiveness for our sin. Beloved, loved one, if God so loved us, and he did, amen?
Amen.
Okay. We also ought to love one another. Amen?
Amen.
Oh. Now, you notice that it didn't say this. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love him. That's what you would expect him to say. But God's not a boomerang. He loves us and he wants us to love someone else. Okay? So we ought to act like him. Now Paul says we should imitate God and walk around in love. And you know, the world out there is so desperate for love, aren't they? How many times have you talked to somebody and they're talking and they've got their defenses up and they've got, you know, the world pretty set in a spot, and you can tell they're just totally dying for somebody to love them. You know, as a church, we look at that, and we want to reach out. We're going through our leadership, our kind of visioning to understand who are we and what do we think God wants from us. And I'll tell you one thing I know he wants. He wants us to participate in the ministry of reconciliation of those who don't know Jesus Christ. And you know, in the Denver area, only 5% go to church. 5%. 95%. Don't bother. And we look at that, and so even driving past, I remember a few years back, I saw the statistics in Brighton, only 3.5% go to church. So when these cars are going by, and we have about, I can't remember what the number is, 16,000 cars go by in one day out here on Highway 2, how many of those are Christians? Very, very few. And so they're all looking for love, folks, and we're asked to do it. Now, Paul says this, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, and if I have the gift of prophecy, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am what? Nothing. If we don't love. So I have a phrase I'm going to give you, and I want you to think about this. I'm going to try to keep it up there as much as you can, and the phrase is this. And I want us to sit around the remainder of our time. We are called to love the way he loves with the love he gives. We are called to love the way he loves with the gift he loves. Now let's take the first part. We are called to love our passage and walk in love as Christ loved us, right? I love it in Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. In fact, you know, when we're talking about love, it's mentioned so many times in the Bible. In Paul's epistles alone, 112 times he mentions love. And the spiritual vital sign that we can tell how mature or how healthy we are as Christians is what? Our love. Our love. Love for God expressed through loving for people. In other words, if God is love and he dwells in us, then the outflow of such a life has to be love, right? That's why Jesus said to his disciples, and I think it's applicable to us, even though he's speaking to them, and he says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Love one another. You know, loving one another defines us, or should. But the scriptures goes beyond just loving in general. We are called to love the way he loves. I want you to think about that for a minute. Not just to love, but to go way beyond. We are to love the way he loves. There are kind and compassionate people in the world around us, and they do love others. We see hospitals built. We see benevolent programs go. We see people even walking around door to door collecting gifts. People are starving or whatever. But God calls us not to just love, but to love the way he loves. That's what makes the difference between a Christian and not Christian. Not loving other people, but loving the way he loves. My commandment is this. Love each other as I have loved you. John 15:12. Or a verse for today. Therefore, be imitators of God and as loved children and walk in love. Jesus made this distinction, and I love this distinction. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. Now, there was a sect in Judaism, in Israel, that did believe that that was true. It was a minor, but they believed that the Bible is saying, well, you need to love each your fellow Jew, but don't love the Gentiles, okay, because they're evil. And so he says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, good stuff and crummy stuff happens to us all. Right? And it doesn't seem to have like, it isn't like, oh, Christians, if you live a good life, you're going to have all good and no crummy. Have you found that out yet? Okay. No, crummy stuff happens to us all. Good stuff happens to us all. You know, Debbie and I were watching a show the other night, and the father in the show had a heart attack, and he was on his deathbed, and all the kids came, and they're all asking, they start out with the question, why him? Why not another neighbor? Well, if it was the other neighbor, they would say, why him? Why not them? Right? It always is somebody else. And then as they got talking, pretty soon they're saying, why is this happening to us? You know, I had to wonder what it would be like if Debbie, my wife, died. And many of you have had that kind of experience. a mate dying, a child dying, a friend, a sibling, parents. It's not easy, is it? Everybody that experiences that has a tough time. There's no good way to experience that. You know, it's brutal, very brutal, because we really understand what the world's about in this process. And Jesus is saying those negative things happen to us, but we've got to love one another. We've got to love one another. You know, I look at this and I think it's not about how blessed we are or how long we survived, but it's how much we love those who don't bless us. Do you hear me this morning? That's the measurement. Because people hate you. Do you know that? I've heard it. No, I'm just kidding. But people do hate us. They misunderstand us. Or we say something, they don't like what we said, and they shift and they turn off completely on you. Or they persecute you. They may even go out of their way to torture you. Or they turn and abandon you. Or they become offended by you. And have you ever noticed in a lot of those cases, you can't straighten it out? The more you try to straighten out, the deeper it goes instead of the better it goes. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew 5. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the IRS agents doing that? I just want to put it in the current. Okay. And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans or the non-believers do that. Be mature. Be perfect or mature, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect or mature. We are called, my friends, to love the unlovable as well as the lovable. There's no reward in loving the lovable, right? But to love the unlovable, to love the enemy. And you may be saying, but Steve, you know, you haven't met my brother. Right? He treats me badly, puts me down. Every time I go to a family event, I feel like the orphan child. He embarrasses me in front of everybody, and you put in your deal. We are called to love the way he loves. God's love has no favorites, it has no conditions, it's radical, it's sacrificial. It's just not loving others above self, it's loving others beyond self. It's unconditional. But how can this be possible? Well, Paul tells us we have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter. We have the mind of Christ. How can we not love? So let me add the third leg to this. We are called to love the way he loves with the love that he gives. So, meaning us, gives us. We are called to love because he has already given us a reservoir of love. Do you realize that? Do you ever right in the middle of an awful thing, you'd love to be able to just hug him and tell him you love him? Right in the middle of it. That's God, the mind of Christ, working in you. Listen to 1 John 4:7. We read this. Love comes from whom? God. Romans 5:5. God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. And the fruit of the Spirit is, and the very first one is love. Love. So here's the answer to an overwhelming command. God deposits his love into your heart and my heart and only calls us to release it. He has not called us to do something impossible or something that we can't do. It would be like this. Imagine I have two people beside me. Now, this is to your left. Yeah, okay. I always get it backwards when I'm up here. And so you reach out to your left and you take the wallet out of the person's back pocket. You open it up. And there's money in there, and you take the money out, and you give the wallet back, and you hand it to the person in need next to you on your right. Okay? Are you happy to do that? I mean, it's not stealing. It's okay. Are you happy with that? Well, listen, we've got a couple people that are involved in our benevolence program, and every once in a while I put out a basket for benevolence. You remember we load it up so we can feed people and help people and that kind of thing. And so several times they've done this benevolence thing. They've taken a meal or bought them some food or that kind of thing, or we bought, at Christmas time, we were able to buy some gifts for some people that really needed to have no Christmas. And they come back and they go, oh, that was such a drag. Such a drag to give them those presents. Are you buying what I'm saying?
No.
They come back and they're elated. And it wasn't even their money other than what they put in the offering. Because when we give to others, it totally gets our endorphins going, doesn't it? It's just a thrill to do that. And so God has in his wallet this love, and you take it out because it's really yours, and you open it up, and you pull that love out, and you give it to somebody that doesn't deserve it, and I'm guaranteeing you're going to feel good about it, even if they don't feel good about you. It's like saying, the Lord, the problem is not with you and me. I love you, but with all my heart, but it's just that I can't stand my brother. And God turns around and says, this is spiritually impossible, my friend, because when I came to you, I reproduced my love for your brother in you. And the beautiful thing here is when you love someone that's done you dirt, when you love someone that has totally screwed up your life, and you offer them love, man, you're not emotionally broken. And as a result, you didn't become poor, did you? You became rich, because now you can sleep. And you've demonstrated what God demonstrates. And we can only experience God's love in his fullness when we let it go in our hearts, because it's already there. And if you hoard it, it turns stale and kills and bitterness sets in. Isn't that true? You let it go and it stays fresh and revitalizing. So let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Sorry, I couldn't. I just couldn't not do that. All my grandkids sing that. But isn't it the truth? Maybe that's what we need to sing to ourselves. Let it go. Let it go. And hand the love out that they need to hear. We are called to love the way he loves. With love, he gives to us. Isn't that true? Amen. So what's our application? Well, I think there's two things we need to do this morning. And I think, and let me just say this. If we do these two things and we begin to love people, you know, it's not going to matter if we have enough programs for the kids or the youth, or if we have enough Bible studies going on or enough teachers. The world needs love, not Bible teachers and programs in a church. Amen? They need love. They want to just come in and be loved. Number one, you need to draw from God's love. We just talked about that. Take it from his wallet and give it to the poor. It is spiritually impossible. Listen to me here. It's spiritually impossible to be in union or unity with God but not feel love with people. Do you know that? It's impossible. The only way that that can happen is that you've moved away from your relationship with God in order to not love people. And I've had people say, well, I just don't have a love for people. Well, you know what? They don't have a love for God either. That's what 1 John said. Philip Keller said this. He's a pastor, a Presbyterian pastor in New York. I have the love of God only to the extent that I have God himself. To put it another way, I only have the love of God to the degree that God lives his life in and through me. Isn't that the truth? I love that statement. The more God has of your heart, the more God, love can flow. James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The way to grow is not to focus on our love, but His love. Being moved by God's love is more you becoming like Him and you imitating Him. And the second thing is, you got to make the choice to do it. It's still a choice. Am I going to love those people? Those people. Am I going to love them or am I not going to love them? Am I going to have a relationship with God or is it going to become desert? That's really the question this morning. You take the love that God gave you and you choose to use it. And it's a choice we make. It has to be proactive. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. When we love those people that are unlovable, you know what God's first reaction is? Right? Smells good. Smells good. So that's our challenge this morning. Father, we come this morning. Thank you for that challenge. Thank you for telling us to walk in love because we probably wouldn't do it if you didn't. Lord, help us to love others, all others. Help us to understand how to do that. I know your Holy Spirit can direct us to do that because He's in our heart. And we know we have the love because you said you gave us the love. So Lord, help us just to make the choice to do it and to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.